All right, today is a very special milestone. This is our 100th episode. First and foremost, I just want to say thank you. Whether you've been with us since episode one or you just found us recently, your support as listeners, viewers, and subscribers is what makes this possible. Over the last 2 years, this show has experienced tremendous growth, far beyond what we imagined when we started this. And that growth comes from people like you who tune in, share episodes, and join us in the pursuit of knowledge, growth, and profitability in franchising. We are grateful, truly. Every download, every listen, every share has helped us build this community. And if you've gotten value from this podcast, I'd love to ask for a small favor. Please like, subscribe, and leave a review on whatever platform you're listening or watching on. It may seem small, but it helps more people discover the show and allows us to continue to grow and deliver the content that matters most to you. So, thank you again for being part of this journey. Here's to 100 episodes and to the next 100 to come. Now, let's dive into today's topic, Chick-fil-A, one of the most talked about and misunderstood brands in franchising. All right, welcome back to The Pursuit of Profit. Today, we're talking about the most sought-after franchise in America, Chick-fil-A. It's legendary for its profits, its culture, and yes, that delicious chicken sandwich. But here's the truth. If you've ever searched YouTube or Google for Chick-fil-A, you've probably seen hundreds of videos regarding owning a Chick-fil-A, and many with jaw-dropping claims. What's the problem? Most of it is wrong, and here's why. Chick-fil-A is a privately held company, so unlike public brands, their financials aren't fully disclosed. That means a lot of what's floating around online is speculation, cherry-picked stats, or just flat-out misinformation. But as you could expect, we've done our homework. We've read the FDD. We cross-checked operator data. And today, we're going to break down a Chick-fil-A operator's P&L with accuracy. You're also going to hear things in this episode that you've never heard before. Little-known franchise facts, uncommon figures, and some surprising realities about this brand. We begin at the very beginning. Chick-fil-A was founded by S. Truett Cathy in 1946 when he opened a diner called the Dwarf Grill, later renamed the Dwarf House in Hapeville, Georgia. Originally, the menu featured hamburgers and steaks, not even chicken. It wasn't until 1967 that the first Chick-fil-A restaurant opened in a mall in Atlanta, making the official beginning of the brand that we know today. From day one, Cathy focused on two things: quality food and radical hospitality. He pioneered the boneless chicken sandwich and set a precedent for service standards that many QSR brands try to emulate today. Truett Cathy developed a faster way to prepare boneless chicken using a pressure cooker and peanut oil. The chicken sandwich served today is the same as it was in 1967. A breaded breast of chicken with two pickle slices placed on a buttered toasted bun. Iconic. The name Chick-fil-A is a take on chicken fillet with a capital A on the end, symbolizing top quality, grade A quality. And that is what we know about the brand today. Some key milestones. In 1986, the first standalone Chick-fil-A opens. By 2006, their sales surpassed $2 billion. In 2015, Truett Cathy passed away. Leadership transitioned to his son, Dan Cathy. In 2022, Chick-fil-A hit $18.8 billion in system-wide sales with fewer than 3,000 locations. Today, they have over 3,100 U.S. locations with $22.7 billion in system-wide sales, making them the third largest restaurant chain in the U.S. in sales. That's behind McDonald's and Starbucks, and yet it remains privately held and family owned. The Cathy family, now in its third generation of leadership, has an estimated net worth of over $33 billion. Here's an interesting franchise fact. Since 2005, the University of Oklahoma hosts the only all-you-can-eat Chick-fil-A in the world, and it's available via their meal plan credits in the university dining hall. Very interesting. So, how did Chick-fil-A become America's most beloved brand? Let's start with the obvious. Chick-fil-A is a machine. It is one of the most iconic brands in America. Customer satisfaction, off the charts. Drive-through speed, able to service over 100 cars an hour. And order accuracy, industry-leading. Chick-fil-A has built its empire by doing the exact opposite of what every business textbook, consultant, and competitor says you should do. They've never taken on debt, they've never gone public, and they never chase Wall Street's quarterly earnings pressure and never open on Sundays. By closing every Sunday, Chick-fil-A is willingly giving up 14% of its potential revenue, an estimated $1.2 billion annually. Why 14%? One day per week is 14% of a seven-day week. Yet rather than hurting the brand, this decision has created scarcity and reinforced its cultural identity. Even economists argue that this very scarcity fuels pent-up demand, driving Chick-fil-A's daily sales higher than many competitors that operate 7 days a week. Chick-fil-A is as famous for being closed as it is for being open. Every location closes on Sundays, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and that decision rooted in True to Cathy's Christian values. While competitors flood the airwaves with advertising, Chick-fil-A relies on word of mouth and customer loyalty. While the industry struggles with high turnover, Chick-fil-A doubles down on culture, training, and values. And unlike most brands that pivot endlessly to chase trends, Chick-fil-A stayed remarkably true to its original roots. The same chicken sandwich, the same service-first philosophy, and the same values-driven approach that True to Cathy started nearly 80 years ago. In a world obsessed with growth at all costs, Chick-fil-A proves that discipline, culture, and consistency can beat scale, speed, and spending. Don't believe it? Look at what happened to Boston Market, Red Lobster, Hooters, TGI Fridays. They all filed for bankruptcy. All right, let's talk numbers, and then we'll dive into a P&L discussion right after their branding strategy. The average Chick-fil-A unit generates over $9 million in annual sales. This number is just mind-blowing. $9 million average revenue per location open more than 1 year. The highest performing location did over $19 million in revenue. Folks, McDonald's is four times the size of Chick-fil-A, open roughly four more days per month, yet their average revenue per store is less than half of Chick-fil-A's. If you add up Chick-fil-A's biggest chicken competitors, like Popeyes, which is $1.8 million per unit, Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, at $1.3 million, Bojangles at $2.2 million, El Pollo Loco at $2 million, that totals $7.3 million. Chick-fil-A still outperforms all of them collectively. Think about this. Even the worst Chick-fil-A in the system generated more revenue than the average KFC, the average Wendy's, Burger King, Taco Bell, and Popeyes. This is just phenomenal. This kind of dominance raises real questions. Is success about what you serve or how you serve it? And that is a huge question. Here's another franchise fact for you. The drive-thru record. The most well-documented Chick-fil-A drive-thru record for serving the most cars in a single hour occurred at the Jefferson Commons location in Louisville, Kentucky, on September 21st, 2018. The location served 178 cars from noon to 1 p.m., averaging approximately three cars per minute. This was celebrated as a location-specific record for the fastest drive-thru service in the restaurant's history, highlighting Chick-fil-A's operational excellence, clearly. Most people don't get the full story when they start exploring franchising, so they make mistakes that cost them big. That's why my business partner, Justin Guevara, and I wrote Beyond the Brand, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Fearless Franchising. It is our proven six-step process at Franosity to help you find the right franchise, avoid costly pitfalls, and build a business that truly fits your goals. Grab your copy of Beyond the Brand on Amazon or any major book retailer and start building your future fearlessly. Okay. their branding strategy is uniquely different from not just every QSR, but literally every company. When you think about fast food advertising or just advertising in general, you probably think McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, flashy TV commercials, celebrity tie-ins, Super Bowl ads. But Chick-fil-A, they're different. In fact, you almost never see them advertise. I'm not sure that anyone listening can say they advertised on TV or the radio, at least not in a traditional sense. And that is all by design. So what's their branding strategy? Let's break it down. First, the obvious, the cows. The Eat More Chicken campaign launched back in 1995 and became one of the most recognizable slogans in America. The original ad was supposed to be an animated chicken. And plan B was a budget fix, including costumed cows with hand-painted signs. It became one of the longest-running ad campaigns in fast food history. Think about it. For two decades, they ran with cows holding hand-painted signs telling you to eat more chicken instead of beef. It was funny, it was memorable, and it stuck. And it cost a fraction of what McDonald's and Subway spend to plaster celebrity endorsements everywhere. I want to put this in perspective. McDonald's spends roughly $4 billion a year on advertising globally. $4 billion. Starbucks spends around $400 million annually. And Subway invests close to $350 million a year. Chick-fil-A, by comparison, spends almost nothing at the national level. Second, Chick-fil-A leans heavily into local grassroots marketing instead of flooding national TV. They empower operators to put money into their communities. You'll see Chick-fil-A on youth soccer jerseys at a high school football field, sponsoring local events, college events with their iconic red pop-up tent and Honda generator. It's not about mass market visibility. It's about being part of the community fabric and sponsoring events that align with the brand values. Third, their real advertising is the experience itself. Walk into a Chick-fil-A and you'll notice the service, the cleanliness, the consistencies, and employees saying with a smile, "My pleasure." The drive-thru that runs smoother than anyone else in the industry. Little touches that make people tell their friends about. That's word-of-mouth marketing, and it's worth more than $1 million Super Bowl ad campaign. Dunkin's recent Super Bowl ad had to cost over $20 million. Ben Affleck alone reportedly earned $10 million for his 2025 Dunkin' commercial. Fourth, they created event-based buzz. Remember Cow Appreciation Day, where dressing up like a cow scored you free food, or the first 100 campout, where the first 100 customers at a new store won free Chick-fil-A for a year. These quirky stunts generate national headlines at almost no cost. You have national media outlets that will pick this up for free. Finally, they're betting big on digital loyalty. The Chick-fil-A app is not just a rewards program. It's a direct line to the customer, personalization, exclusive offers, and first-party data they own that keeps them out of the endless cycle of paid ads and gives them a competitive edge. The results are clear. Chick-fil-A spends a fraction of what competitors do on advertising, yet their stores produce more revenue per unit than almost any other fast food chain in America. They've proven that if you invest in culture, consistency, and customer experience, you don't need to scream the loudest in commercials. Your customers will do the marketing for you. So the next time you're driving past a Chick-fil-A billboard or see their name on a youth soccer scoreboard, remember, the strategy is what makes Chick-fil-A the strongest brand in the world without ever buying a Super Bowl ad. Okay, the long-awaited P&L review. When people hear that it only costs $10,000 to get into a Chick-fil-A, their first reaction is usually, "That's insane. Where do I sign?" But here's the part that almost no one talks about, the P&L, how the money actually flows. And if you don't understand it, you'll never really understand why Chick-fil-A is such a unique opportunity and why it's also so different from traditional franchising. Let's walk through a sample P&L for a store doing around $9 million a year in sales. First, you've got your COGS, the cost of goods sold. The food, the beverages, the paper, the sauce, the packaging, the napkins, that runs about 32% of sales. So right away, that's about $2.9 million off the top. Then comes the big one, labor. Chick-fil-A is a high-touch business, and it takes good people to run those double drive-thrus, right? Crew members, managers, trainers. It adds up to 30% of sales. On $9 million, that's another $2.7 million. On top of that, you have payroll taxes and benefits, around 3%. Supplies like cleaning and kitchen consumables, another 2%. Utilities, repairs, maintenance, janitorial, grease, disposal, uniforms, right? Add all this stuff up, utilities. It all sounds small, but together they chip away at the margins. Toss in credit card processing fees at a minimum of 2% of sales. Don't forget third-party delivery fees. And you start to see how all these ordinary necessary expenses eat into revenue. Then come the fixed expenses, the fixed costs, rent, which for a Chick-fil-A can swing wildly. We use $30,000 a month in our model, but the FDD discloses rents up to $90,000 a month. Equipment rental is another $3,000 to $5,000 a month, and there's a business service fee, plus insurance to cover workers' comp and liability. So after all that, you get what Chick-fil-A calls operating profit. In our model, that's about $1.95 million a year before their service fees kick in. And here's where it gets interesting. Chick-fil-A doesn't let you just keep that profit. They layer on something called the base operating service fee. It's essentially 15% of sales and equates to another $1.3 million in expenses. After that deduction, you're left with $629,000 net profit. Now, Chick-fil-A takes 50% of that net as an additional operating service fee. That's about $314,000 straight back to corporate. The other 50%, another $314,000, stays with you, the operator. And that's the number Chick-fil-A doesn't put on the billboard. The average operator makes between $270,000 and $320,000 per year. Not because the stores aren't wildly profitable, but because Chick-fil-A shares in the profits instead of selling you equity. So here's the bottom line. Chick-fil-A stores are printing money. A 9 million unit throwing off nearly 2 million in operating profit is extraordinary in the QSR world, the quick service restaurant world. But the operator only sees a fraction of that, and it's by design. Chick-fil-A keeps the real estate, they keep the equity, and most of the upside. What you get is a six-figure salary to run one of the best brands in America. And for the right person, that's still an amazing deal. But it's not ownership, it's stewardship. And understanding the P&L is what makes that extremely clear. Here's another franchise fact for you. The secret sauce. The Chick-fil-A sauce was an accident. It was created in the 1980s when an employee in Fredericksburg, Virginia, mixed honey mustard, barbecue, and ranch. It became so popular, it was bottled for retail decades later. Okay, let's get into the acceptance rate that they claim is more difficult than Harvard. You only need 10 grand to become an operator, right? 10,000, not a million, not 500,000, $10,000. That's the lowest entry cost in all of franchising for a brand of this caliber. And they don't just hand you the keys and say, good luck. Chick-fil-A trains you deeply. You get world-class leadership training, operational support, and access to a network of top-performing peers. If you want to run a business with a blueprint for excellence, Chick-fil-A checks every single box. Operators may also receive a base salary, typically around $30,000 per year. I believe it's in the beginning stages, okay, on top of their share of the profits. While the real money comes from the profit split, the salary just ensures you have a stable baseline income from day one. This base is not disclosed in the FDD. Now, here's something you probably heard, that it's harder to become a Chick-fil-A operator than to get into Harvard. Chick-fil-A claims that over 60,000 people a year apply to become an owner, and fewer than 100 are selected. But here's the truth. The issue is capacity, not exclusivity. This isn't a case of brutal filtering or a 0.1% acceptance rate. It's simple math. Chick-fil-A only opens about 100 to 130 new restaurants per year. That's it. you're not competing for 60,000 open slots. You're competing for a few dozen. It's a store supply issue, not some secretive velvet rope admission process. They opened 123 new stores in 21. In 2022, they opened 124. And in 2023, they opened up 132 new locations. Let's put this in perspective. Harvard receives around 50,000 applicants and accepts roughly 2,000 students per year, an acceptance rate of about 3.6%. With Chick-fil-A, 60,000 apply. And if 100 are chosen, that rate's closer to 0.16%. The numbers sound impressive, but unlike Harvard, the low acceptance rate isn't about ultra-rigorous selection. It's mostly about the fact that there are so few seats available in the first place. This is a supply constraint, not an ultra-exclusive vetting gauntlet. Chick-fil-A's model is intentional and slow growth by design, which keeps the demand high and openings few. So yes, it's competitive, but it's not some Ivy League-style elimination funnel. It's about timing, values, and being the right fit when one of a small number of seats open up. I would not invest in a Chick-fil-A. So let me share something fundamental about how I approach any investment. I don't invest in brands because I love the product or service. I invest in brands that are built on systems. It's easy to fall in love with a spicy chicken sandwich, right? The ice cream, all these different things, or top-tier customer service. But that doesn't make it a good business investment. What I look for is operational discipline, scalable systems, transferable processes, predictable economics. I need to love the operations of the business as much or even more than the product itself. If the systems aren't profitable, repeatable, and sustainable without me, it's not an investment, it's a job. Now let's talk about the fine print, because this is where it gets interesting. First, you don't actually own the business. So when you see these videos on the internet about ownership, owning, investing, you don't own anything. You will never own a Chick-fil-A, okay? Chick-fil-A owns the land. They own the building. They own the equipment. They own the brand. You're not a franchisee in the traditional sense. You're an operator. You're basically an employee that they literally can terminate. You don't build equity. You don't have a resaleable asset. And you're unlikely to ever have multiple locations. Chick-fil-A is notoriously selective about multi-unit ownership. And I hate even using the word ownership because you own nothing. It's really stewardship. So Chick-fil-A is notoriously selective about multi-unit stewardship. Most operators will never run more than one store. I want to get into something else that we see in franchising, which is to me a negative, and it could be cured, right? It's a curable issue with all fast food companies, but today I'm speaking about Chick-fil-A. The Chick-fil-A sandwich delivers protein and niacin, but is nutrient poor in vitamins, minerals, and fiber. If you lived on these sandwiches alone, you would quickly run into deficiencies in vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A, vitamin K, magnesium, potassium, calcium, and fiber. If you're health conscious or focused on clean labeled foods, this clearly could be a red flag. So, all right, enough of that. Now, here's where the missed opportunity really stings. If you actually owned an average Chick-fil-A location outright, okay, doing $9 million in sales and generating $1.3 million in profit, it could be worth somewhere between $5 and $6 million based on typical restaurant valuations using a multiple of 4 to 5 times EBITDA. But as an operator, you don't own the business, so you can't sell it. You're taking home a strong income, yes, but you're not building any equity. That means you could run the store successfully for 10 or even 20 years and still walk away with nothing to sell. No asset, no exit, just the cash you earned along the way. You're essentially managing someone else's multi-million dollar business while building wealth for them, not necessarily you. So who should consider this? If you love the brand, align with its values, and want to lead a team while making a strong income, this might be a dream opportunity. If you're mission-driven, focused on community involvement, and content with running one store with excellence, then Chick-fil-A offers more than just profit. It offers you a purpose. But if you're an investor looking to build equity, scale something big, and even exit with a payday, this is not the path. Chick-fil-A is one of the greatest operational franchises ever built, but it's not an investment in the traditional sense. It's not ownership. Again, it's stewardship. Would I run one if I wanted to lead, serve, and impact a community while earning a solid income? Absolutely. Would I invest in it to build wealth and scale a portfolio of franchises? Not a chance. And that's the truth about Chick-fil-A. Folks, if this episode gave you clarity, share it with someone who's eyeing Chick-fil-A opportunity or franchising in general. And don't forget to like and subscribe to Pursuit of Profit for more deep dives like this. See you next time, and thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FranOcity.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.